On this 15th day in February 2011 in San Diego, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we are in chapter 18 entitled The Perfection of Renunciation, text number 60. Sobhava Jena Kaunteya Nibadha Swena Karmana Kartum nechasi yunmohat Karishyasya vishopitat. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction. But compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. Purport. If one refuses to act under the direction of the Supreme Lord, then he is compelled to act by the modes in which he is situated. Everyone is under the spell of a particular combination of the modes of nature and is acting in that way. But anyone who voluntarily engages himself under the direction of the Supreme Lord becomes glorious. Om Gyana Timanandasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. Excuse me. So this is a series of verses in which Krishna is encouraging Arjuna, of course, to fight in this battle in the spirit of service to Krishna as a sacrifice. And Krishna promises that if Arjuna, giving up this sense of false ego, which means separateness from Krishna, having his own idea, and wanting to act because he feels that he doesn't want to kill his friends and so forth, if he gives that up and acts without this false ego, then he will come to Krishna. Everything will be auspicious. If he does not act in that way, as he says in 59, then he will be falsely directed. By what? By his mind, by his feelings, by the illusory energy of Krishna. But because we all have to do something, we naturally will act, as Arjuna will act, and we all act in our own natures. We have a certain psychophysical nature. We'll act anyway. But if it's not for Krishna, then it will be to our degradation, and we'll be acting in illusion. So here, he echoes a theme that he spoke of in the third chapter, when about karma, when he says that no one can be inactive even for a moment. We're forced to act by the modes of nature. So the question is how to act and what consciousness to act in for our ultimate benefit. And of course, the idea is to link up. This whole book is about yoga. Every chapter is entitled some kind of yoga. This is the final chapter, Perfection of Renunciation. So how to act in such a way, not repressing our natural psychophysical nature, but how to act in bringing it into the stream of bhakti so that we'll be purified of our modes of nature, the lower modes of nature, and be situated in our natural, blissful consciousness of service to Krishna. So here he's saying, look, you're going to be impelled to act by a higher force. The force is either going to be myself and my instruction, or it's going to be your own senses and mind, which are working under the modes of nature. That's the choice we have. We don't have a choice to be independent. We're going to be influenced to act in a certain way. Now, we may be under the illusion that we're making the choice independently, but we're not. We all have a conditioned mind, we have senses, we're in a certain environment. So the question is, using our good human intelligence, because animals can't do this. This is all for only human beings, this instruction. With our purified intelligence, to make the decision what energy we're going to be influenced by. This is a direct quote from Srila Prabhupada in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Arjuna has to make the decision. He's free to make it. As Krishna will say, I've spoken to you, to this whole science of bhakti to you. Now you're tejasi tathaguru. Now you act according to your desire. And we'll see that ultimately he'll make the right decision, of course. So this is the end of a certain section here. Now he's going to go into another section about the super soul and the heart, and that we're simply being guided as if on a machine made of the material nature. That's the next verse, which is a very significant verse. So any questions about this point, that we all have a svabhava, and or our own nature, psychophysical nature, and this is caused by the modes that we've associated with, our previous activities, all these different things go into make who we are now. But we have this one advantage, and that is this intelligence, which can be purified by hearing the transcendental sound, so that we can decide how we will develop our association and what our influence will be. And we want to be influenced by Krishna ultimately, for that's our ultimate benefit as spirit souls. Otherwise we remain bound by the control of the lower energy. And so the choice is very stark. Okay, text 61. Ishvara sarva bhutanam viddesher janatishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Report. Arjuna was not the supreme knower, and his decision to fight or not to fight was confined to his limited discretion. Lord Krishna instructed that the individual is not all in all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, or He Himself, Krishna, as the localized supersoul, sits in the heart directing the living being. After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past deeds, but the supersoul, as the knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. Therefore, all the activities of living entities are directed by this supersoul. The living entity gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the supersoul. As soon as a living entity is placed in a particular type of body, he has to work under the spell of that bodily situation. A person seated in a high-speed motor car goes faster than one seated in a slower car, though the living entities, the drivers, may be the same. Similarly, by the order of the Supreme Soul, material nature fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity so that he may work according to his past desires. The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Therefore, one's duty is to surrender, and that is the injunction of the next verse. Very nice purport. This word spell, let's just think of the word spell, being under a spell. It's almost like, I don't remember myself being under a spell, ever being put into under a spell, hypnotized, as it were. But some of us may know what it's like to be intoxicated. And you're a different person, You're not in your right mind. You'll do things and say things that you ordinarily wouldn't do. But you yourself don't, you can't end that spell. In other words, you can't end that intoxication for some time. It's something that comes over you. Now imagine that everyone was intoxicated. Well, then that would be the normal state, right? And indeed, some people like that atmosphere. They like to hang out with people, other people who are intoxicated and in that kind of crazy state. That's like the mode of ignorance, right? So think of it like that. We're all under this spell. Everyone's under a spell in this world. Just this basic illusion that we ourselves are this physical body. It's universal. Among almost every human being, what to speak of the lower animals. And as Prabhupada says, when you get placed in a certain body with a certain brain, a certain nervous system, a certain form and senses, naturally you act according to that body. You identify with it. It's hard to face this fact, but it's true that we, at one point, assuming the truth of this of the Shastra, we've been in these lower bodies. We've acted like dogs. We've acted like cats, and who knows what else. It's scary to think like that, but it's a fact. how much more we should treasure this rare human body now. Isn't it? Now we have not only human body, but we have a chance, because of this knowledge, to perfect the evolutionary process and not to go back down again into this lower species. It's an urgent injunction here. So, but under the spell of the material energy, under the spell of the body we happen to attain, we're thinking, oh, I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm 6, I'm 10, I'm 25, I'm 50. No, I'm not. I'm not 50, I'm not 63 years old. I'm eternal. I've been existing for billions and billions of years and more. All of us. Isn't it wonderful to think like that? That we're eternal. Death is an illusion. Everybody dies, nobody dies. Wake up, and open your eyes. You're not dead body, you're a pure spirit soul. Chant the holy name and attain life's goal. It's a little poem I whipped up. But you know that everybody dies, nobody dies. It's right from the Gita. Antabanta hime deha nitya sukta sharirina. That's exactly from the Gita. All these bodies are temporary, antabanta. But nitya sukta, it is said the soul is eternal. So that means we're not the body. If I'm eternal and the bodies are temporary, I'm not the body. Just that one understanding is key to make any progress. Then your priorities change. Right now, everything that we're, all our aspirations, our plans, our worries, are all related to this body. But if I'm not the body, then they shouldn't, you know, it's just like, if I'm not the car, my whole life doesn't circle around my car. It's just a vehicle for getting point A to point B. And if it gets wrecked or if it gets stolen, yeah, it can hurt a little bit, but thank God nobody was hurt, right? I wasn't hurt. I'm not kidnapped. The car is gone. So that's what this is all about. Ishurak savabhutanam. Every bhuta, every living entity, every organism. Let's think of the word organism, because that takes in the idea of a body with a soul in it. A living being, you see. Within the region of the heart, the super soul is there, the Ishvara, the Lord. And we're all wandering, right, through all these species, all these situations, all these universes, on a machine made of the material energy. It's just a machine. Yeah. So with that understanding, that, you know, how do we maintain that understanding and realize the implication of it? The idea is that We are soul with a body, but we also have a spiritual body that's now covered. This is what the personalists understand that the impersonalists don't. They understand this verse, yes, we're all on this machine. But they think that the soul is just spirit with no form, no personality. That personality itself is artificial. No. Personality is not imposed on the soul. We are eternal persons. But our personality has become, you know, distorted by contact with the body. It's less distorted in the human form. But the fish, the insects, the bears, all the different cows, they also have their set of senses. You know, that's been more distorted because more and more covering of the modes of nature. So how to work in such a way, live in such a way, that the coverings are removed and we are become aware of our real nature, our real glory, as godly beings, not God, but godly. That's the mission of human life. So this verse is very important for that. And you can see, you begin to see like that. Everybody's riding on this machine made of the material energy. And everybody is identifying with the machine. I like to compare, you know, I don't know if you're in your tradition, but we have this thing called Halloween, you know. And we used to have, when I was a kid, we had parties and everyone would dress up, you know, as something. And I remember one of my friends, he dressed up in such a way, you know, and no one could tell who he was. He looked to be some pirate, I forget what he was, you know, George Washington, I forget, you know. So, but we knew that somebody was in there, you know, that he wasn't George Washington, right? But just imagine that you have a week of this, or a month of dressing up, to the point where you start acting and thinking that you are the person who you have your costume on. That's what it's like being in this material world. We went to a masquerade, you know they call it, and we all got knocked on the head, and now we've forgotten who we really are, and we're acting according to those fake. Until the party is over, death, and we take a new masquerade ball. But when will we put aside the costumes entirely and live in our real identity? That's what Krishna consciousness is all about. And the reference to all of that is always Krishna. You know, now our reference point is ourselves, or a little expanded, the family, maybe the community. You know, that's who we identify with. But that's very limited. We should identify with the unlimited, with the supreme. That this is who we are. We're parts and parcels. We're servants of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Jivera Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. It's not a restriction of who we are. It's an unlimited expansion. So that's what this is all about. This is a very clear explanation. According to our mentality, according to our work, we create a certain subtle body. The super soul knows, sees everything that we're doing, all our aspirations, and just a suitable womb is ready for us to enter and fulfill our desires. It's all controlled. It's all done. Intelligence is everywhere. This insanity that, oh, intelligent design. Don't people know that we all just rose up from this, you know, undifferentiated pool of chemicals? Darwin proved it. You know, this word intelligent design has become a notation or a mark of unintelligence. But actually, it's most intelligent. Even a child can see. The sun is coming up at a certain time, going down, how wonderful it is, the stars in the sky. You know, everything is planned out, it's organized. You look at one leaf, how complicated it is, what to speak about your own body. Where do you find complication like that? Organization, intricate machine without an intelligence behind it. Did we figure it out? Did we make our own body? We can't even know how many hairs are on our head. What to speak of how the blood is going, how the digestion is working. It's so complex. Anyone who's involved in medical science knows, in spite of all the advances, there are still many mysteries, right? How does the brain work? They can't figure it out. You know, how do kids learn language so quickly? You know, from 0 to 5, they learn to speak like that. It's a mystery. They can't. You know, with all the psychology. So there's an intelligence. There's a supreme intelligence guiding everything. It's so obvious. So that supreme intelligent being is within every one of us. We're God, if you will. And I just want to let you know, God is not a four-letter word. You know, God is within each one of us and is guiding us to fulfill our karma. And if we want to, he'll guide us back to him. It's all a question of our desire. When we open the Bhagavad Gita, he's guiding us from without. You know, because we can't hear him within. We're too covered over. When we approach a spiritual preceptor and we take his guidance, he's guiding us from without. And eventually, if we progress in sadhana, we will be guided from within. Now Arjun, taking the role of conditioned soul, he's being inspired, you know, to do the wrong thing. In other words, his own mind and intelligence is guiding him. But Krishna is outside, the super soul is outside guiding him. Now he has to surrender. You know, as he says, Tade tameva sharanam gacha, the next words of the Bhagavad Gita, to that super soul you should surrender. And lo and behold, that super soul is I. So, you know, Krishna said, he's there. So this is the choice. Now it's the stark choice is being presented to all of us. Any questions on this verse? Ishvara Sarvabhutana. It's worth memorizing. Prabhupada quoted it constantly. Yes?
Can you explain a little bit more about when you talk about conditioned mind or conditioned soul?
Yes, the conditioned soul. Well, there is these things called the modes of nature. And a conditioned soul means one who is habituated to working under the influence of the modes of nature. And the modes of what we call rajas or passion and tamas or ignorance, they cover the original knowledge of the soul. And therefore, we're deeply enmeshed in this illusion that we are this body and that the interests of the body are my interests, my supreme interest. You know, to keep the body comfortable, well-fed, pleasing the senses, that this is my ultimate interest. So that's the conditioned soul. Now, we each have our own special custom-made conditioning, you know, according to how we've acted and what we've associated with in this lifetime. That's the conditions. And what it means is that we're impelled to act in such a way to generally to further that conditioning. It's kind of like you get a certain habit of action, you know? Like most of us have a routine of the day that we're in, right? I know I do. So you're in that, you know, and it comes naturally. Get up at a certain time, take prasadam at a certain time, go to work, or, you know, I go to work also. And everything is routine. Now, when you break that, or if there's something that breaks it, you feel uncomfortable. You don't feel in your usual way, right? Or if you get sick, sometimes it breaks your routine. So conditioning means a certain habituated way of thinking, acting, feeling, willing, and being. And that has to be reformed, because that conditioning keeps us under the spell, keeps us under the spell of illusion. You know, it's very complex. The mind is a very deep thing. We have so many subconscious things going on, so many habits we don't even know we have, but with the proper stimuli, they come out. You know, and to reform that conditioning requires a total program of yoga. That's why bhakti, if you do it seriously, is a full time job. It's not that you do your bhakti and then you do something else. You know. It means that you reform your whole life so that you're connecting more and more to Krishna at every moment. And he, from within your heart, and externally also, purifies, changes your habits. Like I didn't, when I grew up, I wasn't getting up at 3:30 in the morning and coming to Mangalarti. No way. You know, I would get up at 7, go to high school, you know, and get it, about the same time, go to work, you know, for a while. But then by joining the ashram in 1973, you know, you got a certain training and da, 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 and now can't sleep past 3:30 in the morning. It's not like it's a hardship. It's just what I do. You know, 38 years of doing that, and it's pretty well ingrained, you know. It's a good habit. So conditioning can be, you know, we say conditioning when it's something that keeps you from Krishna. But there can also be good habits. That's all I did, good habits. I have to chant. And you have to, well, you want to chant. You want to chant the holy name. You know, you feel a void unless you've chanted your rounds and seen the deity in the temple. That's the way we should be. And that all goes into the mix. Now, we may not achieve perfection in this life, but Krishna assures us nothing is lost. What is this one life? And just like I've had this code, I've been trying to get a new one for a long time. So, I'll get one soon. But I mean, all right. So even if I die with this coat on, what's the big deal? You know, I've got it. But the point is, nothing is lost. This coat, this body, if it's used for bhakti even a little bit, will start from that point in the next life. Is it? We're going back to God. All right, let's go on for the next verse. Tameva sharanam gacha.
Tameva sharanam gacha.
Sarva bhavena bharata.
Sarva bhavena bharata.
Tat prasadat param shantim. Sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. O Sayana Bharat, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. So that him is the Ishvara that he mentioned in the previous verse. The Lord in the heart, Krishna. Purport. A living entity should therefore surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, and that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. By such surrender, not only will one be released from all miseries in this life, but at the end he will reach the Supreme God. The transcendental world is described in the Vedic literature, the Rig Veda 1:22:20, as Tad Vishno Padamam Padam. Since all of creation is the kingdom of God, everything material is actually spiritual. But Paramam Padam specifically refers to the eternal abode, which is called the spiritual sky or Vaikuntha. In the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Sarvasya Chaham Vridisannivishtaha. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart. So this recommendation that one should surrender unto the Supersoul sitting within means that one should surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna has already been accepted by Arjuna as the Supreme. He, the Lord Krishna, was accepted in the 10th chapter as Param Brahma Param Dhamma. Arjuna has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the supreme abode of all living entities. not only because of his personal experience, but also because of the evidence of great authorities like Narada, Asita Devala, and Vyas. So what does it mean to surrender? Well, we have a verse in the 15th chapter. It's a nice little summary. This after Krishna describes the banyan tree and how we have to cut it down with the sword of detachment, he says one has to search out that Lord from whom everything is emanated and surrender. And then he gives a little formula there, what it means to surrender. So it's worth reading that. Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha adhyatma nitya vinavritta kama dvandvaiva mukta sukha dukkha sangha gacchancha mudha padamam veyam tat. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. So that's the process of surrender. It's not an easy formula to be completely free from false prestige and all of these things. We also have another formula given to us by Rupa Goswami, six elements of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya bharjanam. Rakshishati divishraso gopur devanamantata atmanikshepa karpane shadvidha shadanagati. So shadanagati means having gone to the Lord for surrender. Shadanagati. So anukulyasya sankalpa. I think it's sankalpa. Anukulyasa, accepting those things favorable for devotional service and rejecting those things unfavorable. Now, what those things are that we should accept and reject, that we have to learn from Shastra, Guru, and Sadhu. This is our evidence, as Krishna said at the end of the 16th chapter. Tasmat Shastram Pramanam Te Karya Karya Vavastito Gatva Shastra Vadanoktam Karma Karta Miharasi. For our evidence, for our authority, of what to do and what not to do, what to accept, what not to accept, we should consult Shastra. And having done that, we should actually accept those things, reject those things, and act in that way according to that. So this nice formula of Sharanagati, accepting the favorable and rejecting the unfavorable. Now, it helps, that's the beginning of enormously, if one is in the association of those who have done that to some degree. In other words, association with devotees is essential to give one the inspiration to accept and reject those things, because we're used to accepting things on the basis of our senses and pleasing and rejecting on that basis, which is not the evidence. That keeps us bound. So that's where association comes in, finding out what to do and giving the strength to do it. And then this idea of being confident of Krishna's maintenance. This is a big surrender, because generally, you know, every living entity, what is speaking of human beings, are engaged in this hard battle with the material energy to keep the wolf at the door, you know, away from the door, the wolf of poverty and want, you know. And that becomes our whole life, you know. But to really understand, well, Krishna is providing everything. Prabhupada would often say, the birds are eating, you know, just like the lilies in the field of the Bible, you know. The birds are eating. He says millions of elephants in Africa. There's probably a few hundred left. But anyway, they're also eating something. And all these animals, everyone's being fed. They're being provided for. So human beings also will be provided for. And therefore, we shouldn't be overly absorbed in that aspect of existence. Not that we just quit our job and, you know, and take sannyas right away. But don't make that the all in all. We should primarily understand that Krishna is providing everything. And that he will protect. Notice how Arjuna is part of the Pandavas. The Pandavas, including and their great mother Kunti, are perfect examples of those who always had faith that Krishna will ultimately protect. Even in the darkest hour, when they were out in the forest, they had escaped from the house of Lak, which had been set on fire. No one knew where they were. They had to pretend to be dead, right? So they wouldn't come after them. Duryodhana had all the armies. So they're out there, you know, wandering in the forest. Dimba comes and Bhima kills him. You know, so many dangers and discomforts. And yet they didn't give up on Krishna. They said, he promised to protect us. We know that in the end, we'll be protected. And sure enough, even in the battle, you know, they were also outnumbered. Bhishma was on the other side. Drona was on the other side, you know. And all Krishna's armies were on the other side. Remember, you know, Duryodhana took the armies and Arjuna took Krishna. And so anyway, They're a perfect example of rakshishyatiti vishvaso, having full confidence of Krishna's protection. And atmanikshita karpani, always remaining meek and humble and having no interest outside of Krishna's interest. This is sharanagati. This is actually the door to bhakti. You know, if you want to experience bhakti and, you know, the higher levels of devotion, then we have to go through this door of sharanagati, surrender. So that's what Krishna is saying here, too, that one should, Arjuna, you should surrender to that Ishwara in your heart. And lo and behold, it's none other than me. He's already explained that in the 15th chapter. So the whole question, Arjuna, you know, fight. I want you to fight. Now the question, will you or will you not? Will you surrender or not? You know, and the contrast is being brought out very starkly, that it's against, you know, his gut. In other words, he really doesn't want to fight. From that level, he dropped his bowl, he's trembling, he's sweating, he's crying, because his dear friends are on the other side. But that's exactly what Krishna wants him to do. And so sometimes, you know, surrender means to really embrace things that may be uncomfortable for us. Even, you know, we have these little austerities, the four regular principles, you know. It's a great mountain, you know, for people to cross who have no understanding of Krishna consciousness. It's inconceivable. But it's necessary. And if we surrender to Krishna and we chant the holy name, which is Krishna avatar in this age, he's descended as a holy name, then Krishna gives us the strength to perform these austerities, to actually surrender to him. That's the lesson here. That what seems impossible becomes possible by the grace of Krishna. You know, impossible to give up and impossible to accept. It's not impossible. And this was Prabhupada's great gift, that he showed by his own example and by inspiring and others to get the spiritual strength to also follow this path. So it's possible to do. And otherwise, you know, and if you can't do it, well, then you'll continue to suffer. To the degree that you can do it, you'll prosper. Your life will become auspicious. This is Krishna's promise. Any comments or questions? It's important. Verses. Iti te jnanam akyatam.
Iti te jnanam akyatam.
Guyat guyatamam maya.
Guyat guyataram maya.
Vimishyaita rasheshena.
Vimishyaita
rasheshena. Yate jasi tatakuru. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. The Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma-bhuta. One who is in the Brahma-bhuta condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Here the words, yatejasi tatakuru, as you like, you may act, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the Supersoul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the Supersoul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. So, you know, Krishna consciousness is a very serious business. It has a very joyful and exuberant side we see with chanting and dancing, and that's essential. That's the Yuga Dharma. But ultimately, whether we're going to progress on this path and take it seriously is a matter of our intelligence. If we're willing to read and accept these words of Krishna and Krishna's pure representative and try to act on them, that will determine whether we're able to enter into the house of bhakti. It's as simple as that. And so Srila Prabhupada here mentions, you know, one has to deliberate on this. As Krishna says, deliberate, vimrishya, Vimrishya etad asheshena, fully, and then do what you wish. You know, we always do what we wish, or we try to do it anyway. And the question is, are we going to act according to our immediate wishes, dictated by the senses and the mind, or are we going to act on our ultimate good interest? This is the difference that human beings have over the animals. We can plan, we can look ahead and see, what is my ultimate good and welfare? Not just my immediate pleasure. And that was what Arjuna asked at the beginning. Karpa nidosho bahada sobhava prachamitam dharma samudha jeta. He surrendered to Krishna because he was bewildered about what his true dharma was and how to achieve the ultimate good. Shreya. You know, Prabhupada would give these little formulas. It's very instructive. Shreyas and Prayas. There's no one here who's grown up in ISKCON, so you may not know. You know what Shreyas and Prayas is? Okay. So Shreyas means the ultimate good. Prayas means the immediate good. You see? So the more that a civilization or an individual acts on the basis of the immediate good, the immediate impulse, what, you know, if it feels good, do it. This was the theme in the 60s. It's a hedonistic, animalistic formula, and it leads to misery. You know, you may have fun, you know, when you're very young and senses are very strong, but in short order, the more that you're acting just on impulse, you'll find yourself suffering like anything. You know, drugs and sex and all this stuff quickly degrades, and your life becomes hellish. Whereas in the I'm trying to get rid of any Kleenex. Does anyone have any Kleenex? Where were we? Anyone remember? Shreyas and Prayas. So Arjun was, he's taking the role of conditioned soul, and he says, I don't know. I just don't know what is to my ultimate good. I've made all these arguments, but now I realize that I don't know. We're not getting anywhere. So I'm taking now the role of a disciple rather than a friend. And please instruct me for certain what is my good fortune. This, you know, striving for the ultimate good, this is given to the human beings. If we give up on that and we think, well, there's no ultimate good, it's just, you know, birth and death and whatever you can grab and do that and then you die and that's it. That's, you know, throwing in the towel. We should believe that there is an ultimate good that we can strive for that will give us perfection in this life. Why not perfection? Not physical perfection, but spiritual perfection. And that's I like this verse. I taught it to Bhakta Tim, who's on his way to India tomorrow. Prabhupada quoted it all the time. Labdva sudurlabha midam bahu sambhavante manushyam artadama nityam apiyadhira turnam yateta napateta numrityu yavat dikshesaya vishayak kavlasarva taksyat. So it's a call to the human being. You have attained this human form of life after many, many births, which is difficult to attain, is very rare. Sudurlabha midam bahu sambhavante, many, many births. Manushyam, human form, which is artadam, can give you the ultimate goal of life, swa-arta, of the soul. But it's a nityam, it's temporary like all others. Therefore, one has to be dhira. You have to be sober-minded. You have to consider the ultimate questions. And then, tunam yateta, quickly, without delay, before the spell of maya again gets, you know, overtakes you. Tunam yateta, strive for what? Nikshayasa, the ultimate good. Because this body is always subject to death. Anumitya yavat. So before it falls, napateid, anumitya yavat, as long as it hasn't fallen to death and disease, strive for that ultimate good, because after all, the vishaya, the sense gratification, is available in all these other forms you've been through. You've already experienced it. Where did it get us? Another body, another birth, old age, disease, death. This is the fact. So therefore, knowing these things, being aware, one should strive. That's striving. You know, determination, enthusiasm has to be there for the ultimate. So that's what Krishna is saying here. That if you surrender, you will achieve that ultimate good. I've explained everything to you now. He's going to give a little more now for the last two most confidential instructions. You know, we want those confidential instructions, the ones that really bring us the closest to Krishna. Right? And in fact, the Gita is just setting us up for the Bhagavatam. The Gita is like a preliminary for Bhagavatam. You know? And all the writings of the Goswamis, they all are of a piece. But still, the most secret of secrets is going to be told now. But he's already given Arjuna copious instruction. Now you do as you want. Yatejasi tathakuru. And this is ourselves. Krishna has made it very clear what will happen in each path that we take, but it's up to us to take the path. He's not going to tie us around the neck and pull him to us. That's not bhakti. That's slavery. It has to be from the heart. It has to be voluntary surrender. That's the idea. All right, next verse. Sarva guyata mambuya.
Sarva guyata mambuya.
Shinume padamambachaha.
Shinume padamambachaha.
Ishtosime dridam iti.
Tato vakshyami
tehitam. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. So now he's giving the final instruction, the last couple of verses. Purport. The Lord has given Arjuna knowledge that is confidential, knowledge of Brahman, and still more confidential, knowledge of the super soul within everyone's heart. And now he is giving the most confidential part of knowledge, just surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the end of the ninth chapter, he has said, Manmana, just always think of me. The same instruction is repeated here in the next verse, to stress the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. This essence is not understood by a common man, but by one who is actually very dear to Krishna, a pure devotee of Krishna. This is the most important instruction in all of Vedic literature. I'll read it again. This, text 65, is the most important instruction in all Vedic literature. What Krishna is saying in this connection is the most essential part of knowledge, and it should be carried out not only by Arjuna, but by all living entities. All right, we're going to leave this verse for tomorrow. And, tomorrow is a special day, Nityananda's appearance day, so we'll have something in the evening. Is there something in the evening?
That's when the program is.
Yes, we'll have a big program tomorrow evening. There'll be many devotees here. The Lord Nityananda is one of our most important incarnations, a very close associate of Lord Chaitanya, and actually Balaram, Lord Balaram himself. And so we'll have some special prasad tomorrow night, and a lot of chanting and dancing, and some prapacham about Lord Nityananda. So that's coming attractions. We have a few minutes, so I'll give you a few verses that I've memorized about Lord Nityananda. These are Hare Krishna.